Don't you wish you could just sit in God's love? Constantly? Can you? Always. Where's God's love? Reign? And where is it all the time? Within us. Within us. You just got to tap into it. Turn it on. Remind yourself. Close your eyes and go inside. You'll feel God's love. You're never, ever without God's love. No matter if you're on the top of the mountain, bottom of the valley, in the fire, in the flood, in the middle of a problem, in the middle of preaching, makes no difference. Makes no difference. We are always, always, always with God, are we not? Yes, we are. So speaking of preaching, these are the wrong scriptures that are up there from last week. So just in case you need a review last week, go back and see these scriptures if you don't mind. But we're going to go to different scriptures. Are you all bent out of shape about that now? As much as I am? Can't they get the scriptures right? I gave them to them hours ago. Take it easy. Take it easy. We're in God's love. How easy you just turn on it, right? It's so easy, us humans, right? Love. Anyway, we got to go. Oh, wow, miraculously, as I was being all bent out of shape. Oh, that's a sermon title, by the way. See, yeah, it kind of plays into everything, doesn't it? God has a way of using all these kinds of things to just bring things. If you're paying attention to every event that's happening in your life, small, large, and everything in between, God's in it. God is in every detail. And if you're paying attention, there's something to learn about you and God in the midst of every circumstance, is there not? Including whether or not the scripture are up there right or not. Because we could get all bent out of shape, couldn't we? Not us. Who cares? I'll probably preach from something else now altogether anyway, just to mess with your heads. All right, we gotta go to Luke chapter 13. And you know, one of the things that Jesus faced all the time during his ministry was each time he was in, very often in the synagogue of all places, in church, and he was teaching people, and he was there particularly on the Sabbath. He would be there, and he'd open up the scrolls, and he'd read, and he'd teach, and he spoke with such authority, and he was, obviously, God sent him to be the great teacher and the great example, right? And in the midst of that, almost every single time, he faced what? Opposition. Because the Pharisees were also there. The Sanhedrin were also there. The Sadducees were there. Because they're, I'm going to go there, you know, Sadducee, of course. So needless to say, they got bent out of shape a lot, right? Because Jesus did what? So many good things for people. So much love, so much forgiveness, so much understanding, so much tolerance, so much healing, and so much acceptance of everybody, no matter who they were, and so much. He loved the people so much that he wanted to teach them about what it's like to have God as their partner, as the one that they love and they can serve in without being punished, without being someone who's criticized. That is not God's way at all. God is a God to encourage us, to gently help us and teach us, to show us the way, the right way. And so the Pharisees didn't understand God at all. Jesus confronted them when you read the book of Matthew that they had no love in them. They were so busy putting burdens on people's backs. That's all they cared about. They did not care about the love of God. And so Jesus said, your approval means nothing to me, the time they were getting in his face, because you don't even understand God. So that was about that, right? So he could have got all bent out of shape about them getting bent out of shape, right? So the thing we know about this, evil always wants us to, when we're doing good works, when we're doing something for someone else, when we're blessing others, when we're forgiving others, when we're healing others, the enemy wants to try to put the kibosh on that, right? Try to interrupt it, try to intervene and try to cause some kind of conflict or some kind of strife or try to stop it altogether. Because evil doesn't like good. Evil doesn't like love. Evil likes to have fear and hatred and those awful emotions, guilt and shame and all those feelings. That's what evil wants. But that's not what God wants, is it? And sometimes Satan will actually try to cause us to be angry, because I looked up what bent out of shape was all about and where it originated. I got a couple of pieces of information that you're going to probably throw away later, but it's going to be very profound right now. But needless to say, first and foremost, most of the time is when people got angry. Their face got so contorted with anger that they looked bent out of shape. Right? Been there, done that, some of us, right? Or maybe you bend something else out of shape in anger, right? Yeah, huh? Right? Okay, you can bend. And when we think about temper, they used to temper steel. That's how they heat it up and they bend it, right? That's how we get steel moving. Temper, guess what? If you lose your temper, you're bent out of shape. Isn't that cool how that came about? But the one I particularly like is the time that in 1955, a few years after I was born, in 1955, there was a rainstorm at a baseball game in Wisconsin. And they all got under their umbrellas and got huddled together, bent over to keep out of the rain. And then the reporter wrote that the people were bent out of shape. But that's a good bent out of shape, right? Being huddled together to be protected by the rain. So see, being bent out of shape can have two different meanings, can't it? The anger type and the huddling together to protect one another and to keep something from harming us, the elements from attacking us, right? So they didn't have umbrellas, so they gathered together under one big umbrella, right? That's what church is, one big umbrella. And it's not just the umbrella, the roof on this church. God's church is worldwide. It's under the umbrella of love that protects us from evil, protects us from harm, protects us from rejection, protects us from all the things that could harm us. And what do we need to do as a church family throughout the world, and especially in this church? We gather together. We huddle together with one another, don't we? There's strength in numbers. And it's always so important to let anybody into the umbrella, right? All people, every person. You know I'm going to go there, right? Shape, size, gender, race, whatever the lists are. I just can't say them all. Everybody, every person, anybody that's human, I'll put it that way. And animals too, for that matter, because I like them to be in there too, right? all of us, all people are welcome under the umbrella of God's love, under the cross that Jesus carried, right? So back to being bent out of shape. So for the Pharisees, they lost their temper with Jesus all the time. Jesus helped people that were bent out of shape in other ways. He said, here, let me gather you together and let me protect you. Let me put my covering over you. As the good shepherd that he is, he would protect. He had that cloak on him. And very often in the elements, that's what shepherds did. And when it was real bad rainstorm or windstorms in the Middle East, they would use their cloak and they would protect the sheep. And they would bend over them and protect them from something harming them, and especially the wolf that was coming. There would be that shepherd protecting the sheep. You see how Jesus got bent out of shape? He got bent out of shape this way on the cross for us. A good positive thing too, right? So that we could be huddled underneath all that, be protected from things that harm us and hurt us, particularly other people that are evil sometimes and the things that assail us. So back to the scriptures. Here's a little story that goes with this title now that I introduced it to you. Luke 13, beginning at verse 10. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent over double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. So she was bent over physically, double, bent in half, bent down in half physically because of what the torment that she felt for 18 years, physically bent over. When Jesus saw her, he called her over. See, this is the thing about Jesus that I always know, especially on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is meant for the people. He paid attention to what happened in his audience. There he was in the synagogue. And he paid attention to people. And he saw some people bent over. She wasn't the only one. Because some of us aren't always physically bent over, but some of us are bent down by the weight of some things, are we not? Any of us, even those of us that have broad shoulders, you know, if you feel it sometimes when you get a massage or when you get a headache and things of this nature, most often it's right up in here, right? This is where our stress very often is, right? And we're trying to hold our head up and trying to hold things together. And life has a way sometimes of coming against us, and problems can have come against us, and burdens that we carry that maybe we don't really need to be carrying because we're not strong enough and we can't hold up things or people, trying to save other people sometimes, the things that they're going through. We try to put forth effort to change people sometimes and fix people sometimes, right? Do we not, right? Those of us in ministry, we don't call it fixing, we call it saving, but there's only one Savior. You fix them, Jesus. Thank you. I'm going to sit down. But he calls her over. And that's the thing that I love about the way Christ showed us how what ministry and what the example of what the Sabbath is for. When we gather together as we are this morning and wherever you may be, God is watching out for all of us. And each of us have some things on our mind, don't we? Don't we? Some of which you share through the prayer book, some of them you're going to keep close to yourself. You're going to carry it by yourself for whatever reason. But that's not what God wants of us, is it? He's going to call you over, which is what he does. He calls out to us all. He says, "Woman, you are healed of your sickness." He just spoke it out. Then he touched her, and instantly she could stand up straight. He touched her. When he touched her, you think about it's the touch of Christ, right? The touch of Christ touched her, and that's what healed her, right? But I also think he has Velcro on his hands. Because I think what he did was her burdens, her concerns, the things that bothered her for 18 years, the things that she held on to or held her down or pushed her down or made her feel down, something that maybe she learned when she was a child that she wasn't good enough or perfect enough or she wasn't loved enough or she had done some things that she was ashamed of and she was holding on to that shame and that guilt and it wore her down. He just took his hand and took it all from her at once. Amen. Yes. Yes. Wouldn't you? I'd love to have a vacuum ministry. I would like to suck all the bad memories right out of your heads and replace it with a power of the Holy Spirit and help you inside to feel who you really are in Christ, perfected in Him. All your shame, all your guilt, all your problems, all your concerns, all your worries, all your fears, all your doubts, all that negative stuff that somebody else put in there, all the bad things that have happened to you and to me and to all of us, horrific things have happened to many people. I understand that. But we can be healed of those things. They can be taken from us and we can be restored by the touch of Christ. By the touch of Christ. And some of us who used to hold our head down because of who we are, thinking that God couldn't love us for whatever reason, we think we can't be loved or accepted by God because other people try to tell us so, and it could be for any number of reasons. But particularly this month, we know a big reason that some people feel as though they can't have God, as we're in pride. Juneteenth. Where people of color who have been treated less than, what? And they hold that shame, that less than feeling was passed down generations as though they were just no one that people cared about. They could be bought and sold. What? Never. Not God's way. Read the book of Deuteronomy. You'll see it in there. But many of us need to be set free from where those things happen to us, right? And when those things happen to us, right? And the things that have happened to others. We need to stand up straight in Christ. He gives us a backbone that says, I am yours and you are mine. We're all equal, all of us, equal. Sorry if some of you think you're better than me. You're equal to me. And sorry if some of you that think you're below me. You're equal to me. Jesus made us all equal by the blood on the cross. All of us. So, including this poor woman here. How she praised and thanked God. How she praised and thanked God. Verse 14, here's where we get this bent out of shape stuff coming for us. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. How dare he do such a good thing? There are 6 days of the week for working, he said to the crowd, not to Jesus. See this little scaredy cat? He didn't confront Jesus. He talks to the crowd. Maybe they'll believe the nonsense. Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath. Church, when are we open? 24/7, 365. That's when we're open. Trust me, if you've been around me at 3 o'clock in the morning, you've been there. Okay, so I'm a little cranky that time of night, I will admit. But needless to say, right? When is the Sabbath? Any day that we're serving God. The Sabbath is a day to find rest, is it not? Right? Rest? Rest. From our labor, from working, putting our mind back on God. That's really what the Sabbath was designed for. Many of us work, right? 6 days is for work. The seventh day is working for God or being rested in God, finding rest for your weary soul and souls. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all of you. Come to me, all of you. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I will give you the Sabbath. He is the king of even the Sabbath. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I'm humble and gentle, and you'll find rest for your souls. So what's the part of this that you are playing this morning? Because we know this woman gets healed, right? Jesus ignores the Pharisees. They go off and whatever. It says in verse 16, wasn't it necessary for me, even on the Sabbath, to free this dear woman? Dear woman, dear woman. Listen to that. Or dear man, either way. That's an endearment, a loving. He loves this woman. He loves the men that are there. He loves everyone, children, whomever, right? All human beings. Wasn't it necessary for me? Don't I have to do this as the Son of God? As a person who is an example of God's love? I love this woman so much, I want her to be healed. I'm tired of looking at her, and I'm sorry she's bent over with pain and sorrow for 18 long years. Some of us have been around a little bit longer than that with some of the same stuff. Am I right? Some of us hold on to a little too much stuff that's still beating us up and beating us down. Some of it's yourself. Stop beating yourself up. It's not allowed. Okay. Wasn't it necessary for me even on the Sabbath to free this dear woman from the bondage in which Satan had held her? See, Satan loves it when you beat yourself up, when you talk down to yourself, when you say I'm a dummy or I'm stupid or whatever the heck the dumb things that we often say about ourselves, correct? Or I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I can't, I won't, God doesn't love me, I don't know why God loves me, I can't have success, I can't be blessed, I don't deserve it. We see it all the time in human beings. I watch Top Chef. I'm trying to learn how to cook someday. So needless to say, I could go on Worst Cooks in America, I'm sure. But needless to say, there was this woman, and she was doing so great. But Becky and I were watching it last night, and she said, I don't know if I deserve to win. I said, oh, I want to get up, pull it, go talk to that woman. And they talked to some of the other chefs, talked to her and said, you deserve it just like anybody else. But do you know she lost last night? Our mind, what we say to ourselves, we push away blessings. When we don't say we deserve something, and I'm not saying we deserve anything, but God wants to give it to us anyway. We don't have to earn it. Deserving means you earn it. When you go to work, you get paid, right? You earn a living. You don't earn love. It's a difference. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be all together. It's taken me how long, and I'm still not there yet. I'm a puzzle with some missing pieces, as we all are. But the biggest piece all of us need is the love of God, the unconditional love inside of us. And we need to throw away the pieces of the puzzle that don't fit in our puzzle. You can tell what I've been doing over COVID sometimes, right? And you know, never combine puzzles. Just out of hurriedness to try to put them away when company comes, okay? It's a little harder to put that one, each of the puzzles together after that. Just a word of advice, free today. But how many of you put pieces of things in your life from your past into your present? They don't belong. They don't fit anymore. You can't jam it in there even if you try to. It does not belong because you're new in Christ, are you not? Brand new, yes. So stand up straight in that. Call yourself a Christian, a little Christ that Jesus died for, that he loves you so much that he saw you bent over and he took your burdens from you and he said, come to me. And your part of that is to come to him. That's the missing link for many of us, is it not? There used to be a woman that came to church, she always wore a hat, baseball hat. I'm not going to tell you the team because I don't want a brawl to break out. And I don't want anybody getting bent out of shape, what team it was. back to what I was saying, right? She wore a hat, and I thought it was the lights. I thought she just liked hats. Her hair looked pretty good. It had a ponytail. I thought she looked okay. I'm like, I have a bad hair day. I don't wear a hat. And one day we were having this conversation. She said, I'd like to take off my hat in church this Sunday. I go, okay, you're allowed. Do you need some special permission? I'll check with one of the other pastors and see if it's all right. She goes, no, I really need to do that. And I'm like, okay. She said, I can't look up at the cross because I feel ashamed. So I keep my hat on because I can't look up at God because of who I am. Isn't that awful? Guess where the hat went? I had a hat removal ministry that Sunday. Just think of that, though. Think what that was inside of her all that time. She's not alone. There's still people out there today who are being told that God doesn't love them, God doesn't want them, and they've been rejected for any number of reasons. Anybody here ever been rejected by anybody for anything? I've been on more job interviews. You know, I've been rejected a few thousand times. Do I care? No. Yes, I do. Oh, no. So enough of that. It's too important to all of you that I stop and say to you this morning, if you're burdened and held down by anything, if you've been carrying some guilt, some shame, some resentment, some stuff in your head, if things have hurt you over a number of years, whoever it was that did that, today's the day for us to lift that burden off of you. Today's the day. Today's the day. This is the Sabbath. So we're going to take a minute or two. I'm not going to make you come up here or anything like that because Jesus is all over this place. But what I am going to offer to you to do is we're going to just have you, and those that are watching, you can do it from home. Just imagine, just visualize yourself being called by Jesus when he says to you, come to me, all of you who carry heavy burdens. Come to me. Let me touch you and take all of it from you, all of it. It doesn't matter if it's 18 years or 8 minutes. Each of you this morning have an opportunity, dear men and women, and those that are watching, all of you, whoever you are. If you're bent down and bent over with the burdens and the cares and the worries of this world and of your own very life, in the name of Jesus, he touches each and every one of you right here and right now and removes that from you forever. And he gives you his peace. He gives you rest. And he gives you his eternal love. So as you feel the burden lifted and burdens lifted, and as you feel those things that have beat you down, whatever they might be, whatever beliefs you may hold that are negative or limiting you in any way, as they are lifted off of you now, when you find out you're truly a child of God who loves you so much, as it's lifted off you, all those fears, all those doubts, all those worries, all those concerns are lifted off of you now. You can stand up straight. Stand up straight. Unencumbered. No longer bent over and no longer evermore bent out of shape. So as you stand with your head held high, the weight's been lifted. You know that you'll never, ever, ever again be without love. Never again. And no one can keep you from God's love. Nothing can. Because he bent over backwards to prove his love for you. So we can stand firm and stand on the promises of God. I don't know about you, but I feel a lot better. So the next step after this is, if you ever see anybody else bent over, maybe physically, but emotionally very often, we see people, their eyes downcast. We see their shoulders slouched. They won't always look us in the eye. Let's call them over and say, I know who can lift your burden from you. Let me offer you some help. Let me take that load from you by offering Jesus to that person to take that away from them. And let's huddle together as a church family. Let's huddle together under the protection of the umbrella of God's love. And let's invite a lot more people in. And I hope that all the people that have come slouched over leave this room with their heads so tall that they almost hit the ceiling. That's my prayer. Amen. Amen.